Dear Florence, how are you this fine morning? I'm trying a new recording system, a new first for me in recording, since I'm recording to you Saturday morning, the 19th of April, at 5 o'clock in the morning, in the darkness of my room, with just the glow of the tape recorder, making light enough for me to see, and putting me in a little mental enclosure, as though my existence is right here in this little area, and you are here with me, and we are going to engage in an hour or half an hour of conversation, and this is to get the most out of this. It might be better if you were to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and attempt to listen to this. I don't know whether it would help you or not, but this is something new, and we'll see what transpires before long. I'm drinking a cup of coffee, and that's why I have a few lapses here and don't get to speak to you. You will know the reason why that I'm taking a sip of my specially brewed Williams coffee. It's given to me each night before I go to bed so that I can wake up in the morning bright and early and be in a good mood for everybody. But you know that I've always been in a good mood when I wake up in the morning, most mornings, and I guess it's the same as, I guess I'm still the same. I wake up happy. That normally is a good sign, don't you think? You always wake up pretty happy too. Sometimes you wake up sleepy, but it's not bad for you to get out in the mornings and say hello with a smile on your face, not be grumpy. I don't see anything to be grumpy about in this great world of ours. A few things, I suppose, get to us and make us unhappy, but there's really no reason for it if we just follow the guidebooks and say, this is the day for me to be happy. This is the day I'm going to be happy. I am happy. And let your mind go dwell on the positive thought. And the first thing, you know, people say, gee, you're happy. And you say, sure, why? Why shouldn't I be? Well, why shouldn't I be happy? Everything in the world has been to my advantage. The serious things in life, here I am, healthy and husky at 55? Wow. No wonder people are referring to me as the elder citizen anymore. I think in my little world, I am pretty old, much older than the people that most of the people I work with. There's one or two guys here that are in their 50s, I guess. Only one I can think of is education, Dick Hill. The rest of them are in their 30s. A few of them in their 40s. But not too many of them over 50. 50, that's quite an age. Think of that. Guy lives a long time in 50 years, doesn't he? I wonder, and I'm wondering if the next 50 are going to be as beneficial. I think they are, because I think you don't start to live till you're about 50. At least I haven't started to live till I was 46 anyway, 46, something like that. Well, I received, surprise of all surprises, I received a letter from Dorothy Metz. How about that? And she sent her regards from her and Chuck and told me a little bit of the news, mostly Chuck's business. And he'd had a little trouble with his, he built a home or triplex and got involved with the law. And he now has to make some answers. And she said that they're feeling pretty good and everything's going fine. And she'd like to have me drop by for a cup of coffee like I used to do every now and then when I was working. And she gave me the address of her son, who is someplace in Da Nang. I don't know. No, he's not in Da Nang. He's in the first cab, and they went down to Saigon do a little shooting around there. So I think if he's in one of the first cab units, he might be down there. Then along with Dorothy's letter, I got a letter from my sweet wife, and she just said the nicest things. Started out kind of worried about me not getting mail. Well, shoot, it's not because you don't write that I don't get mail. It's because that the mailman, he don't come all the time. In fact, this letter that I got is dated the 9th, and I got it on the 19th, so 10 days to get here is about 4 days, 4 or 5 days longer than it usually takes for me to get a mail. So don't sweat about the mail, honey. I'm getting, gee, I've got so much mail that I'm from you that I go down and there's my letter. Where's mine? You misplaced it or something. If it don't come, I say, I know I got one. And this old Ed Dillery, he never gets any from his wife, and he goes kind of goofy. He has a mental relapse, and he gets to brooding, and he gets to running around, and he's kind of nervous. In fact, if he stayed out here long, he'd be Asiatic. Wouldn't be able to tolerate this business that we're in right now he tells me that he can't stand this separation. He said, if this is the way it is, it's too much for me. If I had to make a choice, I'd get out of here. But he don't have to make a choice, since he's a professional FSO, and he'll get assigned on his next duty to some embassy someplace. So, but he is a nervous character, and it's tough to see a guy suffer like that, all because of a woman who doesn't like him anymore or wants to get rid of him, refuses to write, and he told you about his background with his wife. She didn't want him to come out here, and he came anyway, and she never did write to him for a long time. He finally went home on a vacation and patched things up a little bit, he said, but not too much. She only writes when she feels like it, and that isn't very often. He's got two teenage kids. I think I told you that the boss had gone on leave to Taiwan, and he won't be back for a couple of weeks. And it just so happened that Ed had to go to Da Nang, so I was alone in the house with a couple of IVS boys that we got staying here. And so this morning, and I just woke up and I thought, here I am in this house, and who do I want to talk to most? And I want to talk to my sweet Paramour, who lives at 3105. So here I am, talking. I suspect, as I say, you better, if you get any good out of this, you gotta get up at 5 o'clock and listen to it in the quiet of the morning. I can hear the roosters crowing out here. Maybe you can hear them too, I don't know. And this, just as you go out, step on the lanai, and this little town, it's just quiet. All you hear is the dogs barking and the roosters crowing. It's still a hick town, and I expect since it's 5 o'clock, these people get up early, and I expect in a half an hour or so the streets will be running over with bicycles and Hondas. I see the light go on downstairs, so I guess the maids are getting up and be putting on a pot of coffee. I'll probably sneak down and get me a cup of fresh coffee pretty soon. Let's see now. I guess you mentioned Bobby. And Marge is about to move in their house. Well, I hope they have a nice housewarming and have some place at the dinner table so I can reserve for old Carly when he gets back, so he can shoot the breeze with them. Old Bob might even be able to enjoy life a little now and go fishing with us and live the life of a city slicker. I hope so, anyway. You say that the talk about Larry that I did in the tape was kind of surprising or amazing. I don't know why it didn't amazing to me. That these things happen a lot. They used to happen. I never had a connection, but until later conversation, it used to happen between Lorraine and I'd think about her. Phyllis, I used to think about a little bit and something was happening. Occasionally I get flashes of thought on people of our family. So it wasn't surprising that I'd think about Larry. It's his time to make a move, and any kid that's maturing and developing and has watched the television or the movies or read the stories of adventure will just naturally be ready to step up and fill his place in the adventure books, take his licks with the rest of the world. I guess Larry has had a good enough upbringing at his pappy's knee. He knows enough about, he knows the rudiments of life anyway, getting by, and he's got the basic requirement, which is good health and a lot of strength. And just through his strength and the troubles he runs into and the bloody noses he gets, he'll probably get a pretty liberal education from the Marines. They'll, I don't know how good a sense of humor he's got.